fruit of God. So we're on down to last week was faithfulness. Pretty challenging thoughts, right? I mean, they were for me. They were pretty sobering just to see Jesus, how Jesus looks at faithfulness. Very strong call to action that there seems to be expectations tied to. When we get to self-control, that's kind of the same. You can draw some pretty strong conclusions about what it means to walk in self-control. And both of these are from the Spirit, and we can't do either of them in our own strength. But nonetheless, they're different than joy and peace, aren't they? Right between those two is gentleness. And I think there's a reason God put gentleness right there. And like I shared last week, when I really studied faithfulness, I got a lot of thoughts that I had not had before about what God was calling us to in faithfulness, what he means when he uses that word there. And the same thing is true of gentleness. I don't know what comes to your mind when you think of gentleness. Probably not a whole lot. It's sort of a sort of weak word, right? And yet I got really convicted this week about the need for gentleness in my own life as I looked at what it was. And so this week, we're going to focus on this quality, and we're going to actually define it ourselves. You guys are going to define it. And then when you get it defined, I'm going to write it up on the whiteboard, okay, and we're going to look at it. So you got to pay attention here. And the way we're going to define it is we're going to walk through a number of the places that Greek word for gentleness is used other places in Scripture. Because what I want to have happen is I want you to have a sense of, oh, yeah, okay, it's coming into focus. I'm getting it. Okay, yeah, I think I'm getting what this word means in the Bible. And then when you get that, I think what will happen is you're going to feel convicted in your soul about what it means to walk in gentleness. Okay? So, what is gentleness? We're not getting our transitions here. And that's okay. We're not in Keynote, we're in PowerPoint, right? Oh, new version. Okay. That's okay. We'll all work great. What is gentleness? How important is it? Why is it in the top 9 descriptors for what God wants to do in us? So, obviously, the answer to the second question has got to be it's really important, because when God lists only 9 qualities, just 9 qualities that he wants to live out in us, gentleness is one of them. So, here's where you guys get to engage a little bit. We're going to walk through, I think, 5 sections of verses that have this word in it. And at first, I think it's still going to be pretty obscure, but over time, I think some things are going to come clear to us. Our first verse here is a verse that really is talking about how we need to act toward other believers. It's in Ephesians 1, and it says, or Ephesians 4, I therefore, a prisoner for the Lord, urge you to walk in a manner worthy of the calling to which you have been called. So Ephesians 1 through 3 is all this amazing stuff about what it means to be a Christian. Then he begins chapter 4, he says, okay, now all that amazing stuff, live your life worthy. Live it worthy of all this stuff I just talked about. And then he's going to tell us how to live it worthy. And this is how you do it. With all humility and gentleness, with patience, bearing with one another in love, eager to maintain the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. Now let me just draw one thought out of this and see if you guys can pick this up. If I were to say to you, apart from this verse, live in a manner worthy of being a Christian, what would be some things that would come to your mind? Live your life worthy. What comes to mind? Faith, yes. Loving. Sacrifice. What's purity and? What? It is finished. Okay, yes. Lots of good thoughts. And maybe it's sort of me. When I think of that call, I do think of those things, and I also think of be courageous, be strong. I think of outward things. Study the word, be faithful to the truth. But what struck me here is all these things are relational. Everything he mentions here about walking worthy, it's all getting along with one another. The whole thing of walking worthy is getting along with you, being united with you. It's being humble, it's being gentle, it's having patience, it's bearing with one another. It's maintaining the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. What it means for us to really live as believers is love. It's to go, listen, I'm going to be united with you. I'm going to be united with you. Seems to be what he's saying there. And when you look at those words, we got humility and patience and bearing with and pursuing unity. And then there's this word gentleness. Why do you think Paul wrote the word gentleness there? What's supposed to be added with that word? Certainly there's no cut and dry answer here. Don't be harsh. Okay, that'd be part of it. If you were going to go, man, I want to obey that. What comes to your mind? Speech. Okay, things related to speech, being gracious in your speech or not harsh in your speech. That's probably a great application. Forgiving. Okay. That's a great thought. Yeah. That's a great thought. Okay, yes. Yeah, yeah. Being filled with his love. So I am supposed to relate to you, and you're supposed to relate to me with gentleness. That sounds, maybe in and of itself as a statement, sort of wimpy. But gentleness is not wimpy. And we'll see that as we go along. So in our relationship with one another, one of the things we're supposed to be is we're supposed to be gentle. Okay. Now, here's toward somebody who's in sin. One of us is in sin, or you're in relationship with a Christian in sin. Brothers, if anyone is caught in any transgression, you who are spiritual should restore him in a spirit of gentleness. Keep watch on yourself, lest you too be tempted. Okay, so you're dealing with a Christian who you've discovered or seen or become aware of in their life, there is sin. What are two ways you can respond that are wrong ways? You can judge them. Okay. You can define and be critical. You can in a sense, reject them and judge them. What else can you do? Sweep it under the rug. You can focus on. Yeah. Yes. So you and I, we are around one another, and we see weakness in one another's life. We see sin, don't we? And what do we almost always do? We do one of those two things. We either go, I'm not going to mess with it. Or we judge and we get critical. You know why? Because to do the right thing in gentleness is really hard. If you engage with someone else's sin, you've got to engage with gentleness. Watch yourself when you engage, or you too will be tempted. Tempted to what? I think tempted to become judgmental, to become too strong, to become either demanding or critical or and you'll get caught up. But it says, listen, if you're spiritual, you could engage in that sin with gentleness. With gentleness. Restore, yeah. So you're going to restore them. So you're going to them. You're engaging with them for sure. You are, and that's your goal. Your goal is to restore. It's probably a really important word. What does restore, what do you think restore means? What's included there? Forgiveness? Yeah. Yeah. When you judge someone, what's your goal with them? Yes, you want them to clearly understand they are a sinner. You are bad. Do you get that? You're bad. That's ultimately the message. Or when we blow it off, oh, it doesn't matter, it doesn't matter. Neither one of those are true, are they? It's not true that it doesn't matter because it's going to be really destructive. And it's not true that they're bad. Gentleness can draw a challenging scenario back to something that brings restoration. And it takes the power of the Holy Spirit to do that. You don't have that gentleness in you apart from the Spirit of God. Have you ever had someone engage with you gently, with gentleness? I have experienced that. I have experienced that. And I've experienced the other, for sure. I would have to say that in my nature, I know I am not by nature gentle. I am not that way. I am very black and white, and I see things very clearly, sometimes way more clear than they really even are. And I like to fix things. But gentleness is not my nature. And there's no life in engaging with things where there's not the Holy Spirit at work in gentleness. So that's how we relate to one another in sin. Toward opposing unbelievers. When people are opposing us, toward unbelievers who are opposing our message. I got two verses here where this word is used. It says, "But in your hearts, honor Christ the Lord as holy, always being prepared to make a defense to anyone who asks you for a reason for the hope that's in you, yet do it with gentleness and respect, having a good conscience, so that when you are slandered, those who revile your good behavior in Christ may be put to shame." Okay, here's the scenario. We work so hard to avoid these. You are being reviled, and you are being slandered. Can you bring that scenario into your mind? You're being reviled and you're being slandered. People are telling lies about you. People are ripping your character up. People are destroying your situation because of their attacks on you. And you're to express gentleness and respect. Okay, you got to grab that one because I'm going to take it away. So stick that one in your brain. 2 Timothy. "And the Lord's servant must not be quarrelsome, but kind to everyone, able to teach, patiently enduring evil, correcting his opponents with gentleness. God may perhaps grant them repentance leading to a knowledge of the truth, and they may come to their senses and escape from the snare of the devil after being captured by him to do his will." Okay, what is gentleness about in those scenarios? Okay, not responding in kind. That'd be... yeah. Not returning evil for evil. Strength. Okay, same. Does anybody think of an example here where somebody doesn't do this? Where you go, they're engaging with people who are opposing the faith, but they're not doing it with gentleness? What would be an example of that? Okay, that would be a lack of gentleness. That would fit. So this is so sad. How sad is it? It's so sad. What's the typical campus preacher like?
Jerks.
They are jerks. And what are they missing? What's the quality they're missing? If you were to put it in a word, I think that's the word. They are not expressing Holy Spirit gentleness. That's why I really appreciate it when Tom Short comes and preaches. I mean, he doesn't yield on a single issue. But he's gracious. And the fruits of the Spirit come out of him. And people end up respecting him, not despising the truth. And you and I can be very drawn when we get into these exchanges. We want to stand on truth alone. Truth will never win an argument, but the character of Jesus will display a reality that in the end will humble people And again, that speaks to my soul. So what is gentleness? We were to add some things here. What does gentleness mean in these two verses? People are opposing your faith. It's hurting. You know, it's like, this is not fun. I can just share that when I was on campus, last time I was at the ASU campus, we did the banners for God as creator. And this guy, he must have been in his early 20s. He came up, he got in my face, and he got more and more and more intense, and he was screaming and yelling. And I thought he was going to grab me by the throat and start ripping me apart. I have never had that happen before. And I thought, oh my goodness, this guy, he is going to go. And God gave me the grace to just remain really calm. And, you know, I think God does give us, there's a spirit there, just filled with the love for him and just to stand there quietly. And he was saying all these things about me, all these horrible things about me, what a liar, and what a, you know, what a deceiver and how evil I was. And I think there is God's spirit fills us at times. I was just able to stand there and just receive it, just stand. You know, I don't know if it was 10, 12 minutes this guy just went off on me. And just to love him. And finally, somebody pulled him away. But it really makes you think that there are spiritual forces. Somebody came up to me and said, that guy was demon-possessed. And I went, I don't know. I don't know anything about that. But if I was ever going to guess, I'd go, that might be the time. You and I are spiritually influenced. Things inside us, our desires, can be spiritually amplified by God and by other spirits. So you're in that situation. Things are really, really going out of control in your world. What does gentleness bring? Humility, that's a huge one, yeah. De-escalation, okay, that's a good word. Peace, okay. Toward all people. Remind them to be submissive to rulers and authorities, to be obedient, to be ready for every good work, to speak evil of no one, to avoid quarreling, to be gentle, and to show perfect courtesy toward all people. And why I like this verse for several reasons. One, gentle is not our word. That's a different Greek word. The Greek word that is in the fruits of the Spirit is this word. They translated courtesy right here. I like that. And the actual Greek sentence literally would mean show all gentleness toward all people. This word is really most often translated all. All gentleness toward all people. But I like the translation. Whenever this word also appears in a verse, they don't translate this word gentle. They give this, the English gentle translation, and then they give this some other word. So here they gave it courtesy. So, in this Holy Spirit trait talked about in Galatians 5, you can also translate that courtesy toward all people. What does courtesy include? What comes to mind? Yes, respect. That's in NAS. Show every consideration. Yeah. It's like you get along everywhere you can. Everywhere you can fit, you choose to fit. Okay. So, we have looked at it toward believers, toward one another, toward people in sin, toward people opposing the gospel, toward people in general. When I look at my own life and I look at different applications and I look how I naturally act, I see clearly what this means, and I see how I miss it in my own strength. My own strength does not take me down this road. My own strength takes me somewhere else. And there is a yielding to God's Spirit that enables me to walk in this, but I have so many patterns in my life that deal with issues without gentleness. And if you can see that in your life, where you engage in scenarios and you have your pattern and your pattern does not bring this, then you are hearing what God wants you to hear. James 1:21, toward the word. Therefore put away all filthiness and rampant wickedness and receive with meekness, that's our word here, the implanted word which is able to save your souls. So what do you get from that? What are we supposed to pick up there? What's our qualities there? Okay. So now you've had different ideas, different thoughts come in your head, different picture. Okay, this is kind of what this is talking about, this gentleness, this Holy Spirit quality that God wants to bring in different scenarios. How common is that in our culture? Let me ask you this. Think about the last your last five favorite movies. Can you think of any character in those movies that expressed gentleness? Let me think of any movie character that expresses gentleness. What's that? Pay it forward. Okay. All right. So there may be one. And that's the appeal there. Okay. That's okay. That's a great example. What I want us to pick up here is how rare this is. How many of you guys have superheroes that you like that express gentleness? No. How many people conquer the world and save the world with gentleness? Gentleness is like, this is a quality our world. How often do you see this on the football field? We do not celebrate this. As a matter of fact, I was at a soccer game Friday night that the Smiths were at, and Denise Meyer was at, and I'm telling you, the spirit that rolled into that world was not gentleness. And I was thinking about this message, I was thinking about this sermon, I was going, wow, how do you apply this? Where does this go? What goes on here? Because there's people just about to go to blows here. And people yelling and swearing and talking about hitting one another in the face, and I'm going, okay, so, all right, here we are. So do you get this? Your world does not promote, value, or call for this. Your world knows almost nothing about this. People pay millions and millions of dollars to watch the exact opposite hours and hours at a time. There is a quality here you and I are called to that will save many things in our life. I have messed up many things by not being gentle in the definition and power of the Holy Spirit, and you probably have too. God says, you guys, you're gonna blow up a lot of things. You're going to make a lot of mistakes. You're going to destroy much if you don't let me express the gentleness that you were created to express in the world. And your world doesn't even want it. They don't even want it. To them, it's not strength. And you and I have to look right in the face of that and go, this is strength. This is strength. And I will own a different identity and a different value system than my world, and they will not get it. We need to think different in what we're supposed to bring. And you will never win anything of value by refusing to bring Holy Spirit expressed gentleness. Now we're just going to look at one last thing here. Jesus always expressed Holy Spirit gentleness. Always. And it's really fun to look through. There are some amazing examples of that, just so amazing to walk through. But there are some things in his life where you go, oh, you know what? I didn't think about that. I'm not sure that'd be gentle. Like, what would be an example of some things in Jesus' life that occurred where you go, is that gentle? Get behind me, Satan. Okay, that's a pretty strong statement, isn't it? No one has ever said anything that strong to me, I don't think. And Jesus turned around and he just nailed him. The woman at the well? Because he just was really exposed her sin, right? Just like right out there. Okay. Yep, whitewashed tombs, right out in public, in front of everybody. Making whips and whipping people? He says he drove them out of the temple. So the them seems to refer to the people. So Jesus took cords, he made a whip, John chapter 2, and he drove them out of the temple. That has to be included in Holy Spirit express gentleness for lots of reasons. One reason would be if it isn't, then there could have been a more perfect life that was lived. Jesus didn't live the perfect life. It could be done better than what he did. I don't think we can make that work theologically. And so we can learn things. If we look at each one of these, we go, wait a minute, there is gentleness here. Let's take John chapter 2, making cords, driving people out of the temple. Is that gentle? I think there's real evidence in that passage that Jesus was gentle. You know where I see it? Right after he's done, what happens? He's standing there, presumably holding the cord in his hand, the whips in his hand. He's just turned over a bunch of tables. He's driven people out of the temple. He said, you've made my father's house a den of thieves. And then the next thing that happens is they walk right up to him and said, tell us why you did what you just did. Now, I don't know how you picture this, but if I picture some crazy guy whacking people, whipping people, throwing over tables, I go, okay, I'm either going to shoot him, I'm going to call the police, I'm going to do a bunch of things, but what I'm not going to do is I'm not going to walk up to him and ask him a question. There was something about Jesus' demeanor, there was absolutely nothing fearful about him. They could just walk right up to him, feel totally safe, and engage with him on, why are you doing this? There had to be something. He was not out of control. He was making a statement. He was making a statement about the value of the temple based on what was written in the scriptures. He was making a messianic claim, and they watched this guy, and they're going, he's absolutely, completely, totally in control. And there's nothing to be afraid of in this man. And they walked right up to him and said, explain yourself. Why are you doing what you're doing? In every instance. So that's why I can't misdefine gentleness. Well, gentleness means I'm just sort of, you know, wimpy. I'm just sort of, you know, I'm just going to hang out. No. In the gentleness of the Holy Spirit, you may make a very strong stand for truth. But you will not do it in your own strength. And it will be very clear. It says the anger of man does not accomplish the righteousness of God. Whenever your own anger is wrought up and you are acting in your own anger, know this, it is not going anywhere good. But there will be things that will produce anger in you, and if they don't, you're sleeping spiritually. They should produce anger. There will be a God sensed anger. Jesus expressed frustration. Jesus expressed anger. Mark chapter 3, it says he was angry at their unbelief. He wanted to heal this guy, and they all were going, no, you can't heal him. And he looked around at the hardness of hearts, and it says he was filled with anger. And it was all filled with the gentleness of God. So you and I are called to step into something different. I have to make that choice. I can try to deal with stuff in my own strength all the time or not deal with it at all. I do one of those two to say, no, I will engage in the gentleness of the Holy Spirit. That's the third way, and that's where God is at. You and I are called to that third way. You must engage, because to love is to engage, and you must engage in the gentleness of the Holy Spirit, in His power and in His strength. That's the call as Christians. Does that challenge you? If it doesn't challenge you, you haven't had it come into focus yet. Because you're not like this on your own. It's a wonderful, glorious calling. We're people who are involved, we're people who are engaged, and we're people who express the impossible. We express the gentleness of God. And I wish we had time to walk through Jesus' example, how amazingly He did this in so many places. And people are just blown away. So that's it.